Let's start this thing off. Let's get this bitch going.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabrkylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say hello.
Hello. Hello.
Here we go again. So I just wanted to say up front, we're starting a rewatch of The Bad Batch, and it's not anything Boba Fett anymore. You might see in the feed that things have changed a little bit. We are officially going to season two of our show, but season two is going to cover The Bad Batch. So weirdly enough, if they have a season two of Bad Batch, that'll be included in season two of our podcast. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't figured that part out yet. Anyway, we're reviewing The Bad Batch today, episode 101, Aftermath. It's a pretty long 1 hour episode, so we're only going to do one this time. We're going to listen to Scott burp a little bit and talk about the news, and we're going to do some detailed discussion. And like I said, this is a long episode, so it might take us a while, but hopefully we'll get through it. All right. So did you say we had any feedback, Scott?
Yeah.
From feedback.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That entity from where I work, it says he loves our content. So does Sergeant where I work. He loves our content. And he goes on these Star Wars cruises and has a pass and all this stuff to go be early and go through Star Wars on his own or whatever. You know, those special parties.
He's attempting
to save up the 25K for R2-D2. So to get a compliment from him is probably really good because he's so hard into it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's crazy, but let's go right into the news. I've got three news things.
It's time for the news.
So the first one's the one we were just talking about, Scott, where Disney officially announced what they call the Mandoverse. And they're basically saying that, you know, the first 2 years of Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett are kind of all tied together. And they're building this up because I think there's going to be other shows that are going to be tied to it. You know, like I was saying, maybe Ahsoka is going to be tied to it.
Will get his own show?
It might. I mean, they're also talking about that. Remember in The Mandalorian where they had the cops or whatever? And Gina, whatever her name was, one of the cops, the Rebel police.
Yeah.
They're still talking about that show. They've kind of off and on again. On whether it's going to continue. Let me play a quick clip here of what the announcement said. And
we'll talk 2 years ago, the world met the Mandalorian.
This is the way.
Now the story continues in the Book of Boba Fett.
I have a few scores to settle.
I might be able to help with that.
The Mandalorian Seasons 1 and 2 and the Book of Boba Fett. Every episode. Now streaming.
We will be ready.
Only on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and that was a video.
I love those one-liners.
Yeah, they're funny. In that video, that was basically a video. In there, they showed pictures of the other Mandalorians. They showed Baby Yoda. They showed Cobb Vane, like you were talking about. They showed him, and they were just quick flashes on the screen, kind of thing, So, anyway. I just thought that was interesting because I think, that's their main focus, I would say, is the Mandoverse. There's going to be some other shows, like we know Kenobi's not going to be tied in because it's in a different timeline completely. So, so I thought that was interesting. All right. And the other story I've got is... Ian McDiarmid, who plays Palpatine in the movies, has teased that he might show up in the Kenobi show as Emperor Palpatine, of course. He doesn't really say specifically, but he says it's possible. He says, so I suppose it's not possible that one day I might be discovered again in another Star Wars universe show.
It would be prudent. I mean, timeline. So,
yeah, Kenobi at least is in the timeline. The Andor show, which has already gotten a season two, hasn't even published the first season yet, and we've already got a season two started. He could be in there too, because that's during somewhat the same timeline too. Everybody thinks it's going to be in the Kenobi show, which starts on the 25th of May, as we know. The last story I've got is about the Bad Batch that we're going to review. And they're talking about how basically the show is better than most people are putting it out to be. They're saying basically it should be more popular than it really is. because it starts, we'll find out here when we go and review it, but it starts right before Order 66 and continues on. And, we learn about that time after Order 66 quite a bit, and with our gang of misfit clones, if you want to call them that. And it talks about how the storyline and how they're kind of filling in everything is really interesting. When we get introduced to Omega, which we had no idea existed until this show.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because Omega is basically the same age as Boba Fett at that time. Maybe I'm not sure 100%. Right now what her age is, but I've seen stuff where she lives past the final movie that we saw, the Return of Skywalker or whatever that last movie is.
Oh wow.
But I don't know. I mean,
they still
mean all that's speculation.
It'd be nice if they could write something up and have a series about it. Short.
Yeah. I'm just curious if we're gonna see in this series if we'll ever see Boba Fett. The two of them meet up and like, oh, I didn't know you existed, kind of thing, or whatever. Or maybe they did know and they just Is Boba Fett left with his dad?
I can't remember. Did we ever see Boba Fett in any of the animated?
Yeah, he was in
like Rebels or something.
He was in a couple of them. He was we saw him as a young kid. Because that's where Cad Bane came in. He was running around with a gang, and then Cad Bane found him and took him under his wing or something like that. So that brings us to the end of the news.
The news.
Yeah. So that brings us into our first commercial, and then we'll go talk about stuff.
And now a word from our sponsors. Does your bald head take a beating from shaving, the sun, and all of the things Mother Nature throws your way? Do ladies look at your dry, sunburnt head and cringe? Well, guys, there's a new product out there in the head care market that promises to rock your head. I mean dome. Looks soft, clean, and touchable, and it's trending number one through social media and on YouTube. Introducing Dome Armor. It conditions with moisturizers like coconut oil and shea butter, protects with sunscreen up to SPF 45, and enhances your already sexy dome into an irresistible hands-on experience. Keep your head, I mean dome, safe and protected. Get Dome Armor now, available in fresh bacon scent. Sure to get the ladies to come running in fine stores like Walmart and Lowe's. Oh, and for those still struggling with minor hair loss, try Grogaine. This product will refresh, revitalize, and regrow hair on your dome.
All right, that's a fun commercial there. I need some of that too, but... All right, so let's get into the episode discussion. I'm going to play the spoiler alert, and then we'll go. It's going to be short, though.
Spoiler alert.
All right, that's it. Because this show's been out for a while, so we don't need a big old long spoiler alert. Well, you know how the animated shows, they have that little... announcer guy at the beginning, and he says a little something.
Yeah.
This is where he says that Grievous is mounting a desperate and brutal counterattack across several star systems. Clone troopers are locked in a deadly combat on the world of Kallar, led by Jedi Master Depa Bilipa. And they struggle waiting for reinforcements. So it talks about that on there. So they're basically there. They're in the middle of a battle against droids. And this Bilipa is directing, you know, the orders. And we see a young Caleb Doom also as her Padawan. And you haven't put it together yet, Scott. Caleb Doom is Kanan in the Rebels. If you remember, he reveals later on that his last name's Doom, his first name's Caleb. So this is a young Kanan. And that's why he, if you remember in the Rebels, he has a dislike of clones.
Yeah. Just cut the crosshair.
Yeah, just because of crosshair. Yeah, so yeah, the that and they killed his master Bilipa, whatever her name is. So we see that, we see them fighting, and all of a sudden we see one of the clones. I believe it's Captain Gray is what they called him, gets the Order 66 from Palpatine and attacks, and they eventually kill this Bilipa, and Caleb is coming back to help her out and stops and runs, and we see Crosshair as he tries to shoot at him or something, right? And
he would put down and put put into a tree.
Right, and Hunter chases after him and tries to tell him that they're not going to hurt him; they'll take him in or something like that. And yeah. He still doesn't trust, and you know, jumps across a big old creek or something, ravine.
Tomato.
And gets away, and Hunter lets him get away, and he lies to Crosshair that he fell down the ravine and died. He saw him fall down there and die. That was a pretty big scene at the beginning.
That puts everything in motion of how Crosshair is going to, you know, but
yeah, Crosshair keeps questioning him and everything.
You think him hitting the tree with his head did some of that to where he always followed orders to the T, or was he always like that?
I think he was always like that. I think, you got to think of Crosshair. He's a sniper, right? And snipers are taught that way. Because, you know, they're basically taught once they've been given the kill order, they aren't supposed to listen to anything else kind of thing. You know, they're supposed to think of it as an order and not, you know, not a person they're killing, kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of that towards his personality and how he's been, you know, brainwashed or whatever you want to call it. The next scene is called Homecoming, and this is when they leave that planet and come back to Kamino. And, you know, they're talking about how many missions how long they were gone. They say it's 205 standard cycles of the galactic calendar, which basically is days.
Do you have one of those galactic calendars on your wall?
No. I mean, they if you look it up, they basically describe it as the same thing as our calendar. There's just not, you know, the months.
I'm just getting Christmas gift ideas.
The months aren't the same. Okay. Crosshair asks him again about the Padawan being killed. We see them notice their shock troopers on the
when they land
Kamino, and they're like, where are these guys from? And they're like, oh, well, you know, they talk to another clone, and the clone says that the Imperial troops dropped them off. And they're supposed to be expecting a visitor from the higher ranks. They also talk about, you know, when they finally get into their room that it kind of smells.
Because
they don't really take care of it very well, I guess. let's see. I think, yeah. So then the next scene is kind of, they kind of go over a lot of that and talk about what's going on. And the next scene is called A New Order. And they're, they're walking down the hall, it looks like, and they're talking about the remaining Jedi being hunted down, you know, because they had no idea what was going on and stuff.
And Omega pops into the conversation.
Yeah, Omega pops up and says, "Hi, guys." Ooh. And they're like, who the heck are you, little girl? She disappears quickly too, Kamoyans or whatever you want to call them calls her off. Let's see, it doesn't say in here who. It's called Nala Se. Yeah. She's the lab person. She says, yeah, we have to go back to the lab, And so she disappears almost as quickly as she shows up. And we later see another scene called Imperial Tidings. We see a shuttle flanked by two V-wings lands. And that's when Admiral and Governor Wilhoff Tarkin arrives.
I got something to say about his pants.
Yeah.
Is it me or is the Empire, well, this is heavily discussed throughout Star Wars. Isn't the Empire considered a Nazis?
In a way, yes. I mean, they're not as bad until we see them in the final trilogy, when we see that scene where they're all, you know, cheering and whatever. It looks like almost like a Hitler moment there. The guy's up on top of what's his name? Anyway, yeah, they're kind of like that way. They don't portray him as heavily as they do in the final series, I guess. The First Order is really where they become heavy-handed.
Just the name, the First Order. Just the name, the First Order.
Yeah, exactly.
That's as close as the Third Reich as you can get.
Pretty close. And the First Order kind of, you know, we don't get the First Order now. We get the Empire and stuff like that first, and then they get defeated in the Return of the Jedi movie, right? And then and so on. So all right, so Tarkin comes in, lots of things. The Prime Minister Lama Su is surprised at the news that Palpatine has supported their cloning advancements in the past but is no longer gonna continue production, or I guess is what you could say. Tarkin reminds Lama Su that all their previous contracts were with the Empire, and now
the Republic.
They've changed names. Well, the Republic, yeah, and now they've changed to the Empire, and such. Republic no longer exists, and so all those contracts are canceled. Empire is going to end production of clones. And they're apparently taking some clones to use for their own uses in the meantime.
Yeah. Or was it said that they're going to have them alter them?
Maybe.
The colonial, and they don't want to do it because they have a pure product or something.
That's true. There's part of it. And that's hinted very heavily. And I think that's kind of what we see hinted in The Mandalorian too.
Mm-hmm.
In The Mandalorian is where we see a lot more of advancement sort of in the cloning stuff. They don't really show it, but you know, that one doctor guy that's there is one of the clone people. Not from Kamino, but he's a expert that the Empire has. Anyway, blah blah blah, and they talk about the skill and accuracy, and like you said, how pure they are, and that they don't want to reduce the purity. And the next scene is a fun one. The next scene is we see the Bad Batch in the cafeteria, sitting down to eat.
Damn, junior high kids.
Yeah. Omega shows up and sits at their table, and they're like, "Are you sure you want to be here? You sure you want to sit with us?"
Yeah, Hunter, like, huh?
Yeah, and she's like, "Yeah, I picked you guys on purpose. I want to be with you guys."
I'm watching it, but now I forget the big guy's name.
Wrecker.
What's the big? Huh?
Wrecker.
Wrecker. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're talking, and a group of clones walks by, and calls them misfits or something, or asks her why she's hanging out with misfits. And, you know, they kind of all ignore it per se, but we see Omega stand up on the table and throw some food at one of them, hits him in the head. Mac on.
After she gives them her little speech.
Yeah, she gives them a little speech about, you know,
leave my friends alone.
Yeah, leave them alone. That's when they kind of turn around and dismiss it. But we also see right after that, Wrecker picks up a plate and throws it, a tray and throws it. And we have a full out food fight in the punching and all kinds of stuff. And
that's so awesome. Cross,
we also see Crosshair sitting there still trying to eat while the fight's going on. Finally, Crosshair gets up and throws a few punches and stuff.
Well, only when the tech guy gets thrown on the table and wipes out his food.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
exactly. And you know, they call the fight kind of winds down, and they call Omega a lab scrubber. One of the clones does.
Yeah.
And we notice Echo sees that Tarkin's been watching the whole thing from above, in the gallery is what they call it. Admiral Tarkin and the Kaminos are watching the fight disapprovingly.
And he asks about them, like, what's their problem?
Exactly. And he walks off or whatever, and we don't see him for a while. The next scene is in a medical bay where they're informing Omega that she's assigned to Mistress Nalase, to the sub-level medical wing. And we first see this droid, the AZ long string of numbers droid. That he has to
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
He has to say that all the letters and stuff.
Yeah.
And looks like Echo got hurt a little bit, so he's in there getting worked on, and he wakes up all scared and everything, and she introduces him to the droid.
The droid type, and the droid says his number, and she says, no, his name's Echo.
Yeah, he says CT-1409, and he says, no, his name's Echo. And they're having a little talk about what's going on and whatever. And they talk about how they're not defective. They're deviant clones. Genetically deviant is what they called it there. And yeah, that's where it says, tech says they're more deviant than defective. And the Echo is concerned about Tarkin, because Echo, we find out Echo is not really the same as the rest of them. He was actually in a battle and was almost killed, and most of his body parts were replaced with droid parts. So he's more droid than he is a clone. And that's why he's not a fan of Tarkin, because that battle he was in was led by Tarkin, apparently. And then Hunter tells everyone that they've been summoned by the Prime Minister, Lama Su. And Wrecker kind of assumes that they're getting in trouble for their fight in the cafeteria. And we go to the next scene where they're... Yeah, they're going to the principal's office, and Omega looks sad, and Hunter. This is the scene where we see Hunter tell her to keep her distance from them, because they're bad news. And in the hallway, they see some more shock troopers, And one of them tells them, asks them where they're going and why they're not going to the training facility. And he says that Admiral Tarkin has summoned them go for a battle simulations, and they're not being reprimanded. And they kind of escort them to this battle simulation room, which we've seen this before. I think we saw some of it in Rebels, but we've seen it. We've seen it before. This little simulation room. Shock troopers respond. They're going to be tested, and Wrecker wonders if they're not in trouble. The Empire must not be as bad as they've been let out to be. They start the battle simulation, and squad assumes their positions, blah, blah, blah. And the Kaminoans kind of comment that these guys don't do conventional tactics. They kind of make up stuff as they go kind of thing. And they first off, they kind of come up with a plan to defeat the simulation by killing the towers first and then going through and getting the droids and everything. We see Wrecker get frustrated with waiting, and he goes and runs in and kills all the runs and charges at some of the droids and such. And Tarkin notices that they're
improvising, adapting, overcoming.
Exactly. He notices that, and he also notices that they pretty much defeated everything. He says, okay, let's run the simulation again.
With live rounds.
But this time we're going to do live rounds. They don't notice right away, but they notice once Wrecker gets shot. He's like, those are live rounds. They're not training rounds anymore. So they know that they've upped the ante a little bit. And it looks like some of the droids and stuff that appear during this live round session are a little different, stronger maybe.
They're a little bit more stout.
Right. And they realize their training blasters are not really going to help them out very much. They work, but they don't work very well. Tech reminds them, or not Tech, but Hunter signals to them about what they're going to do, their plan. And, you know, we see Wrecker saying, oh, I hate those hand signals because I can never remember them. And Tech mentions that you should memorize them. And they want to do the plan they did on Fallujah, which basically is they capture a droid and reprogram it to be on their side, basically. And they end up finally defeating and winning the training exercise. There's one scene where Crosshair asks Wrecker for a knife, and Wrecker throws the knife up in the air, and Crosshair shoots the knife, and it hits the droid right in the head. That was a pretty sweet little scene there too with
the because they sent Crosshair up high, and throw the knife up in the air, and wasn't that one of those. Like a laser knife, it had an edge, or it seemed
I think they all have a laser knife, but we usually only see Hunter's laser knife because he's always the one using Wrecker,
but Wrecker marked a wall in there.
He was writing how many battles they won or whatever.
Yeah,
missions they won or missions they completed. It's a laser knife. It's kind of like,
oh, okay.
You know what we saw in the Solo movie, the guy that was in charge of the whatever, he had that knife that had the lasers on the on it.
Oh yeah, the
it's the same concept. Dawn. Yeah. Yeah, Crimson Dawn guy. And all right, so like I said, they finally defeat the droids and they stand triumphantly in the simulator room. The next scene is they're back in their crib, yeah, let's say, and they're talking and stuff, and Tarkin pops up and has a discussion with them about how good they were and how he was impressed. But he wants to test their loyalty. And he says,
"As a mission.
We've got a mission for you that I want you to go on." He wants him to, what does he call it? Insurgents, who are enemies of the Empire. He wants them to eliminate them. And Clone Force 99 and barracks, blah, blah, blah. Tarkin, Crosshair says the fundamental difference between the dummy droids, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Shock troopers. All right. And they, the insurgents are on a planet called Onderon, or in the Onderon sector, and they must be dealt with. Echo asks about the insurgents, but they aren't given very much more information. Tarkin claims that they're aligned with the separatist forces. Tarkin promises to give them a favorable report if they come back with a successful mission. And then we move to the scene where they're in the hangar, loading up their Marauder ship to take off. To
I don't think he gave them an alternative.
No, they had to take the mission.
Or take the mission. Failed. He didn't give them what would happen if they failed.
No, I don't think he gave them anything, but like, I think we're supposed to assume, you know,
get destroyed.
Yeah, we're supposed to assume that because we already know that they're going to end production of clone troopers, you know, and they're just destroying some of them already from what we've seen. So they're in the hangar, they get in. We see Wrecker comment. He brings on some explosives. He says that he likes the Empire because they love their firepower. much better than the previous
group. Employer.
And we see a scene where Tarkin is talking to Lamassu. She tells Omega that Tarkin doesn't like the clones. And Omega tells them, and he says it's nothing new. And Omega tells Hunter that she doesn't trust Tarkin at all. And I think this is... Yeah, here we go. So... Hunter says that they're on another mission and there's nothing to worry about. Omega asks to come along, and Hunter says that she's not a soldier and it would be dangerous for her not to go. And we see a little scene here where Omega reassures them that she won't get in the way, and you know, she's going to go with them anyway, so on and so on. So Hunter allows her to go with him. Right. Nope, I'm wrong. She leaves with Nala Se in this scene. She doesn't go on this mission, it looks like. It's just the Clone Force 99. So she stays back with Nala Se. And then the next scene is where they're landing on Onderon. And they, you know, they're of course land far away, and they say it's like two clicks to the south where they're going, blah, blah, blah. And they're still assuming that it's going to be a bunch of clankers, that they call them, droids. It's a pretty thick jungle. We see them going through some area. Crosshair reminds them that it's insurgents and not droids. And they look, they're overlooking the camp, and they're looking in binoculars, and they happen to notice that there's
they're human.
Women and children.
Yeah.
And Wrecker asks, if they're not killing droids, then who are they attacking? And Crosshair insists on continuing with the mission, but Hunter tells him, you know, they're not alone, and tells him to stand down. And they see that they're surrounded by these insurgents.
Yeah, they just pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, and they take them back to their camp. The leader orders the clones to stand down, and Hunter tells his men they will hear them out, and to trust him. The squad lowers their weapons. And they're led into the camp. They see Republic fighters is what they realize they are. And Peck asks why Tarkin would send them to kill their own forces. The insurgent leader says it's because they refuse to fight for the Empire. And Tech recognizes that leader as Saw Gerrera.
Yeah.
Which we know is a very influential and somewhat crazy in some movies part person for the there. And they comment that Saw Gerrera was trained by Captain Rex and Anakin Skywalker to fight for the Republic. So, and we saw that stuff in the Clone Wars. We saw where they were training them, and we saw Saw Gerrera and everything at the beginning, but then too, in Clone Wars. So that, I remember that part. And they continue to talk to Gerrera about you know, why they would need to be, why they would be targeted by Tarkin.
Spy drone popped its head up.
Yep, and that's
after he gives the gun back to Hunter.
Yeah, right. After they decide they're not going to do anything about it, they're going to disobey the orders, and they start to leave. And like you said, we see the droid, what do they call it? Viper droid is what they call it.
They're the ones that they're the ones that were, that I remember from Empire.
Yeah, that's the one in the snow that they were
shooting. Yeah, in the snow.
Luke was shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
So they noticed the Viper droid, or not noticed, but they we see the Viper droid as they're leaving. Hunter asks what's wrong with Crosshair and him not wanting to disobey orders all of a sudden. Because Crosshair says that they were sent on a mission to kill the insurgents, and they didn't do that. And Crosshair also questions him about the Jedi Padawan that he left.
Padawan.
Yeah.
So this is the, I think it goes down the road of, oh, now we're not following orders again. It's like second order that we're not following.
Exactly. Exactly. And we hear, who says it? Oh, Hunter says also that the Jedi never spied on them like the Empire is.
Yeah.
And Hunter all of a sudden realizes that Omega had been trying to warn them about Tarkin from the beginning. And Wrecker agrees. And Crosshair wonders why they're listening to a child.
Crosshair's getting difficult.
Yeah, he's getting difficult. Echo mentions that he notices that there's an enhanced awareness that's not unusual for an enhanced clone like Omega. Mm-hmm. And Wrecker agrees, and they talk about how, wait a minute, she's a clone. And Tech says that Omega is the fifth clone, and he analyzed her DNA while they were in the infirmary. And Wrecker's upset that he didn't mention that before.
They what? The fifth?
The fifth. Because you remember a while back when they were in the training simulation that Namase said they had five defective clones.
Mm-hmm.
We always assume that it's the five that we see. But yeah, if you remember, like I said,
well, Crosshair's not really defective because
not the one. It's the guy. It's Echo. He's the one that was blown up in a battle, and then they replaced him with droid parts. So he's not defective. He's just been modified so much. And so we find out that he's not really a clone, defective clone. He's more of a whatever. And Omega is the fifth one that Namase was talking about. Where are we at? Mission to Alderaan. Yeah, defying orders. All right, so they find out that they've been marked as traitors to the Empire because they've already been told by the spy droid, the Viper droid, that they didn't complete their mission. So they're back on Kamino, and Omega is already in their quarters, and she gets dragged out.
Along with the other droid gets shot.
The AZ droid gets shot. Yeah, yes. They've been looking around in the room too, and she finds the little doll that Wrecker supposedly has. They see that guards are packing up their stuff and taking it somewhere. Okay, yeah, he gets shot. Then the troops land. So they land and they're surprised that there was no communication like there usually is. Give me your passcode and stuff like that. And they find out when they land that everything's being packed up and everybody's leaving. And Hunter tells the clones to split up and find Omega, because their mission now is to get Omega off the planet.
Yeah. To get her safety before what's his name finds out. Yeah.
And they apparently, not long after that, get captured and put into a cell by these shock troopers. And Tarkin arrives and talks to him and says, "The Empire does not tolerate failure." Hunter tries to explain that there were complications, and Tarkin responds that the Viper droid, probe droid, gave him a very thorough report. And he saw, he knows everything, and he accuses them of conspiring with Saul Guerrera, a traitor to the Empire. And we see them get thrown in the cell, and Omega's in the cell with them. She was already there or something. And she was surprised that they came back, apparently, is what she says.
Yeah.
What else? Crosshair blames them for being in the cell because of his disobeying orders. Wrecker says that they do it all the time. Crosshair again says that a good soldier follows orders. And every decision that Hunter has made since Kallar has been wrong, citing the Padawan and Saw Gerrera.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. And Omega, we see Omega sit next to Crosshair and ask him why he's angry. And she said, he says he's angry about them not following orders and so on and so on. And then we see we see a shock trooper come into the cell and ask for CT-9904, which is Crosshair. And they take Crosshair out of the cell. And this is where we see the scene where Tarkin and Nala Se are overlooking Crosshair on a like a CT scanner bed looking thing.
Yeah.
And Tarkin, they're probing him and trying to see what's going on and why they're disobeying orders and such, because they, you know, with the chip enhancement, they're supposed to blindly obey orders. And they find out that because of his genetic mutations, there isn't much activity with the inhibitor chip. The inhibitor chip's not having a lot of effect. And Tarkin, this is where Tarkin asks if they can intensify the programming. And then we see the lasers and stuff on Crosshair's head, presumably increasing the strength of the inhibitor chip. And we see a pleased Tarkin. And this is, then we flash back to the prison cell, and the Bad Batch are talking about how they can get out of there. Wrecker realizes he can punch it. He can't punch his way out. Until Tech explains it that maybe he can. There's a good spot here that looks like you could punch and it would pop the wall or something like that. So they kind of form a line, and you see a couple scenes where Wrecker hits or bangs against the wall. The guards don't really notice it because they think it's something else, because they're all standing there. And they do finally, after three or four blasts, they do finally bend the wall a little bit so they can pull off the plating. And Omega volunteers to sneak out. It's not long after she sneaks out that the shock troopers notice she's missing. And they send out they ask for a status report on the prisoner. And the status report comes back as she's still there in the cell, which we see her above the cell, like looking down through some lights or a vent or something. And the guard starts to notice that there's something, they're hiding something. Mm-hmm. He asks Wrecker what's behind him, and Wrecker says nothing. There's nothing back there. Just a wall. And blah, blah, blah. And then they keep on pressing about the what they're hiding, and Omega falls down from the from above on top of the shock troopers and knocks a couple of them down. And Hunter says, "Hey, lower the lower the shield from the cell." And she does, but gets grabbed by the guards.
Yeah.
Wrecker comes out and you know, takes care of the guards. Tech does as well. And Wrecker thanks Omega for letting him out. The guards start to move, so they quickly leave the area. And they Omega tells them that their gear is probably out in the hangar, so they go out to the hangar looking for the gear. And Wrecker's furiously looking for something, and Omega finds the Tuca doll and hands it to Wrecker.
It's his teddy bear.
It's his teddy bear. Hunter tells Tech to power up the Marauder while they're gathering the rest of their gear. And they hear shock troopers enter the hangar.
Yeah.
And followed behind them is Crosshair.
He's gone to the dark side. I think if they show him walking in the background, you think you hear a little of the Empire music.
Yeah, you do. I think you do. A little bit of that almost Darth Vader music, maybe.
Yeah.
Not quite, but something close to it. Yeah. And they're all, of course, surprised to see Hunt or Crosshair there. And Crosshair. Or Hunter asks Crosshair if he's lost his mind, and Crosshair says, "You should have killed the Padawan." And charges
so hung up on that.
He is. It's stuck in his mind. And Crosshair mentions that they should see the big picture.
Surrender. Yeah.
Demands them to surrender, like you said. So they end up having a gunfight. Pew pew.
Pew pew. Pew. Omega picks up a gun.
They're fighting along, and they're almost ready to get onto the ship. And we see Crosshair has narrowed down the group and is getting ready to shoot at them. And like you said, Omega finds a gun and picks it up and shoots Crosshair's gun, basically, I think, and shoots it out of his hand. And everybody's surprised. And they all pile into the Marauder and start to take off while everybody's shooting at the Marauder ship. Blaster out of his hand. Departs Kamino. So they're leaving Kamino, and the next scene is called Finding a New Course. And they're having trouble getting out because the blast doors for the exit start coming down, and yeah. We see the Kamino Nala Se turn the door off so it doesn't go down; it goes back up.
Yeah.
On her data pad thing, or whatever you want to call it, her iPad. And
she wants Omega to get away.
She wants Omega to be safe. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And at least get away. Maybe because she thinks that the Bad Batch will protect her, which I'm sure they will. And we see them going through. They all escape. The ship takes off. Hunter and Echo work on the wounded Wrecker, which had been shot a little bit. And Omega cheers a Wrecker up with the doll. And this is where we see kind of Wrecker is talking, whatever. And every time he moves his arm, he winces or whatever. Dirty. Yeah. He's got a injury there.
It's a boo-boo.
And we see Omega walk up to the cockpit and gaze out the window. And Hunter asks her if this is the first time she's been in space. And she says it's the first time she's been anywhere. She's
been anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere.
And Hunter says that he's impressed with her marksmanship skills and asks where she learned those skills. And Omega, here we get the admission that she's never fired a weapon before and believes she was lucky. Mm-hmm. We hear Tech and Wrecker agree that she was lucky. All the squad ends up being in the cockpit, and Hunter kind of does gives them a plan for kind of laying low, since they all know that they're enemies now of the Empire. And Omega asks them if they have any friends that could help them out. And Tech mentions that that's a short list, because they always make enemies wherever they go, it seems like. And then Hunter orders them to plot a course to J-19. And Hunter responds that he knows a guy there.
Guy there, yeah. An old friend. A guy.
He knows a guy.
Knows a guy.
And Hunter tells Omega to strap in before they jump to hyperspace. And she watches Tech press the controls and buttons as they jump into hyperspace. And we see the... that's when we see the credits. That's when we see credits. And that's our show. The entire long show. It was a pretty good jam-packed show, don't you think?
Yeah, it had a lot in it.
It did, yeah. And it was. I think all of it was needed too. It didn't seem like it was, you know, wasted stuff. You know, maybe
there's no fluff.
Maybe the scene in the cafeteria was fluff, but. I mean, I think it kind of humanizes our group a little bit too, right?
Yeah, and also it kind of bonds Omega.
Right, right.
It like puts them with them then.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, we saw a lot of things here. Obviously, we saw the Order 66. We saw... a lot of the background stuff that we'd never known about Kamino and all that. We also see a scene here, which we see the scene where they are supposedly reprogramming Crosshair's chip. And that's important later on. You'll see why. Because I think, you know, not to be spoilery, but I think later on, closer to the end, Crosshair admits that he had his chip taken out before Order 66, which would have been before we even saw these guys, which doesn't make sense, right? It contradicts what we saw, because obviously they saw the chip on the medical equipment, but that's important to remember for later. And also we need to remember the Omega thing where she shoots the gun, which is our question of the week. Question of the week is, how was Omega able to shoot a gun she had never seen before? And I put several choices here. I put beginner's luck. She's programmed like the other clones. She's suppressing memories. She's a natural or unknown. Which one do you think? What do you think the reason is that she knows how to shoot that gun?
That she's like them and it's natural. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And I don't think they fully realize that. They don't fully realize how much she's like them, really. You know, it's very possible, at her age, she's already gone through a lot of the training that they all went through when they were, you know, being trained too. That also brings up, wanted to mention the previous question of the week, which again is about the Book of Boba Fett. And we ask you who from the Book of Boba Fett will appear in season 3 of The Mandalorian, which is supposed to come out. Last I heard it was October now. They were saying September, but now they're talking about October.
Wow.
So yeah, go out there and vote on those polls. Don't forget to click on the feedback and leave some feedback. Anything else you want to discuss about this episode, Scott? Did I miss anything, or you got more to talk about?
It was jam packed, but it was all needed, like you said.
Yeah, it was all needed. It was all backstory that we needed, right? And I think we'll see as we go along. This season one is 16 episodes. We'll see that we pull from all this information we learned in this first episode throughout the rest of the episodes, which reminds me, the next podcast we're going to do is going to be on episode 2 and 3. Sorry. I got a cough there. And 2 and 3 are called Cut and Run, and Replacements is the episode 3. So we'll see about that. I think, you know, from what we saw at the end of this show, they're going to visit the guy that Hunter has.
Yeah.
And we'll see some about that. You know, this is great, the two of us talking together, but we'd like some, we'd like you guys to participate. Give us some feedback, send us questions, send, your opinions on things, what you saw. We're rewatching this season, so we can be ready for season.
If you gonna put this on YouTube,
probably.
So they can. Can't you leave video remarks on YouTube?
Yep, you can. There's comments on YouTube too, and we'll look at all the places. I have the feedback on the website, but you can put comments on YouTube. You can put comments all kinds of places. I think even when you take the polls. The polls have a spot where you can put comments too, besides what you select. So anywhere you want to put comments, we'll read them. We encourage it because we get tired of hearing ourselves talk. So we want to hear some of you guys talk back to us.
Yeah. I mean, God, your voice drones me to sleep.
Well, whatever. Should we run the outro?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
I am Kyle John Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
Bye-bye now.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Yeah, baby.